subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ninja Selling Podcast. I'm Matt, he's Garrett, and gosh, we are excited to be with you guys again. As always, if you are new to Ninja Selling, head over to ninjaselling.com. You can learn all about the training programs, the coaching program, and all the great things that are there for you. And if you want to join an incredible community of amazing people, the fastest growing community in the universe, you guys have heard me see this. This is the best people. We only let the best people in, which is everybody who answers the questions up front. It's on Facebook. Just go search for the Ninja Selling podcast group, and you'll find it. There's about 16,000 people in there. So just click the little join button, answer some questions, and you are one of the best people that get to be coming in there that as well.
Only if you answer the questions.
Only if you answer the questions, though. Because otherwise, we don't know it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, good morning, Garrett. How are you today?
I'm amazing, sir. It's a good morning. It's a good life. I'm excited to be spending my time with you this morning. And I just can't wait to talk more about the settlement. And we're gonna tiptoe around a little bit today because we're watching. I keep telling people, Matt, there's incredible opportunity out here. If we open up our eyes and we look around, and I'm watching a lot of agents, a lot of people that are seeing this as negative. They're looking at this as this is happening to us. I will say, I have a lot of great people that I coach that are saying things like, I'm releasing the energy on it. I'm moving forward with my business. I can't spend any more time worried or thinking about it. I want to compliment all of you that are in that position. At the same point, there is a great spot there, Matt, to lean into it and go, but what if this is a good thing? What if this opens up doors that I'm not looking at? What if there's an opportunity here to make myself stand out, to be a little bit different than the rest of the pack and have results bigger and better than other people? And I'm starting to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where I'm like, oh, thank you so much. It's so good to have you in my world.
And this is what I'm excited about with this is you. People are starting to think creatively. And I will say one of the blessings of being able to coach amazing agents is I would say 90% of my conversations around this with the people I coach directly have been like, yeah, we're good. Let's just talk about how we can make sure that we have everything we need so that, you know, we're good to go, right? They're set, they're running, they're excited. But I will say outside of that world in the major like real estate space, a lot of people are talking about this race to the bottom, which it will certainly exist because people are like, oh, wait, because I think there's a lot of agents that are like, oh, wait, I can negotiate on my commission too. So maybe I'm going to throw that on the table to help my buyers out. I think you're going to see that. But everybody's so focused on the race to the bottom that no one's focused on the other direction. And this is where I love the story you're going to share, Garrett, because this is where we see people starting to think creatively and saying, well, like, hey, let's remember that as a listing agent and as a seller, one of the best ways to get our home to sell fast and for top dollar is to make the home outrageously easy to buy.
Yeah.
So that more buyers are excited, more buyers come in and they compete and they drive up the price, right? And so I'm going to toss it back to you, Garrett, to share this quick story here because I think it's genius.
To start the story off, one is a little bit of a letdown is that I'm not going to tell you the company. I'm not going to tell you the agent. And the reason for that is it's too soon. It's too soon to be putting this company out there. And then with all this stuff happening, I don't want to put anybody in a hot seat in any way, shape, or form because that's not what we're doing here.
And we're also not saying that anybody should do a certain thing, right? There's part of these stories and things that we want to talk about. This isn't saying, hey, you should charge a certain commission or you should, you know, it's not a this or that. These are stories of, you know, how people are responding to help their clients get to the goal that they want to get to.
And this piece that I'm about to share is this was not a agent's decision to say, this is what we are doing. This was a collaborative work with the client selling the property that the agent and the client said, let's try something for fun here. Let's see what happens. So there is no standard around this. There is not, this is what everybody should be doing. There is not a, it's crazy, Matt. All the things in my mind that I'm like, we have to like set all the standards.
Is this where we add the really fast talking person at the end of the episode who like says all the things like, oh yes, this is a great drug, but don't worry, it might kill you.
Exactly. I had this like, I can feel my body temperature rising as I'm getting closer to like saying what I'm going to say. But here's the thing. So honest agreement between the two, they basically came to an agreement that said, okay, we have, it's a new home construction. They've been working together for a very long time, by the way. This is not a new relationship with working with a builder. This is an old relationship. So they have the trust with each other to say, hey, let's try something. They went into this saying, what if we offered 4% to the buyer co-op side? In offering that, they said, we're going to put verbiage in our marketing, in our listing, everything that's going out, that basically goes along, and this is not the exact words, but basically goes along the lines of, we love buyers, and we love working with buyers agents, and we want to make this really easy for your buyers and for you to be able to buy this home, and this is what we're offering, and you can use this in a lot of different ways. You can use it to pay your buyer commission for your buyer agent that's working with you. You can also use it in other ways to help you with this property. Like, we want to make this easy for you. We're excited to work with you. Their doors were blown off by people coming to see this property. I have talked to other agents in the marketplace that when they saw this email come across their desk, they're like, who's doing what? And then they realized who was doing it. And they're like, way to go. Like, way to go, because it's a friend of theirs. And they're like, that is so awesome. Thinking outside the box, approaching this from a different angle. And, you know, she sat down and she educated her client, and they came to a decision together on what this could be. And I told her, I said, you better document this. You better document everything about it, all the verbiage, how you talked to the client, how you guys came to this agreement, and then the results. Because everybody's so worried about here about the zero commissions or low commissions or whatever that's going to be and how that's going to affect us. We need an example of what happens when you go the other direction. Mm-hmm. And this is the stuff that I'm like, man, as mad as we get this information, as this stuff starts to come about, these are the moments that we can sit down with our clients and have an educated conversation to say, it is your choice what you want to offer here as a buyer co-op fee. You can go to zero. You can go to four. You can go to five. You can do 10% if you want to. Like, this is the craziness. We have this range here, and somewhere in there is going to bring the best results for what you're trying to achieve. And it might be zero that might make that work. It might be 10, but this is the conversations we need to be comfortable starting to have. And we need to have the information to back it up so the clients then can make great decisions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will say builders are very savvy because they want to move to the next, right?
They've got a lot of risk. They've got way more risk than the homeowner that's sitting in the house going, man, if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Right. It's a very different play. And D.R. Horton does this, by the way. I've seen D.R. Horton offer 6% to a buyer's agent.
Really?
Yeah. Here in South Carolina. And I was like, man, if I was selling real estate right now, I'd be slinging D.R. Horton homes for sure. Now, whatever you guys think about D.R. Horton, you can keep that to yourselves for the moment.
Please don't unload on the comments.
You know, well, and I would say on the other side, we saw during the crazy run-up and the appreciation, companies like Lennar offer flat fees, like $3,000 as the agent fee. And you know what? They still sold the homes. This is the crazy thing. Homes were still selling. And so this environment we're entering into isn't necessarily new. We've experienced it. It's just being highlighted right now. But I love this creativity too, because if you think like a builder, I think we talked about this on the episode where we talked about selling my house, Garrett, because I was competing against new construction. And I was like, well, what's new construction doing right now? They're offering incentives to buyers to pay down rates. I was like, well, what if I do that? And now we didn't offer it in the listing, but that was part of our negotiation so that we could get the price to something that we wanted. And this is the thing that I think a lot of people should remember is, one, let's focus on the clients. Let's focus on the buyers and sellers. And listen, the higher net is going to be good for the seller because they get to walk away with cash. a monthly payment is going to be better for the buyer because they don't have to then be out of pocket as much. And what I mean by that is the more a buyer can wrap into the price of a property, which is this is the way it's been done for decades. All the fees have been wrapped into the price of the property. It allows the buyer to borrow a little bit more money so that they don't have to come that out of pocket. Now, do they have to pay a little bit more monthly? Sure. But when we start getting into the narrow realms of like 1, 2, and 3%, we're talking, I think someone told me today, it's like $60 at 3%. It's like $60 for every $10,000 or something like that.
Yep.
Or sorry, at what today's interest rates are, not at 3% commission. So, you know, that's not a little bit of money, but that's a lot better than having to be out of pocket $10,000 for a buyer, right?
Yeah.
So I love this. And I think it not only, I mean, when you think from the marketing perspective, at the end of the day, the product is what's going to sell the property, not the offerings. I mean, unless it's significant enough when you're looking at this one versus that one. Because here's the other thing, and I know I'm kind of running on this, Garrett, but buyers in any marketplace, not just real estate, but consumers, when you're going to buy something, 80% of buyers buy based on value, which is a comparison on their intrinsic value and the price. So if a buyer sees the value in a property, they're going to pay it. If there's a small price difference, but they see a ton value in the one that's higher, they're going to pay for that. If they don't see a perceived value difference, they'll go to the lowest price. And what's 1000 Watt actually confirmed this in a small study that they did based on buyer's representation. They surveyed 1,000 people and said, if you were going to buy a house, how much would you pay for a buyer representation from a realtor? And 5% went to the highest price. Why? Because 5% always go to the highest price. 12% went to the lowest price. Why? Because about 15% always go to the lowest price. The rest was in the middle.
Yep.
Meaning they're going to make their decision based on the value that the agent brings to them. And this goes on both sides of the transaction, Garrett.
And this is where we're going to watch a lot of different models come out of this right now. We're already starting to watch a lot of different models come out of it. That percentage, Matt, that, you know, for there was the 5, the 12, and then the remainder in the middle, which would be what, 82%? 83%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got that this group now divided out. By the way, we've been talking about that. I mean, I've been using that for 20 years, that model and that group of how that's broken out. So the interesting thing about how that is there is if when you understand it, then you know that as these other models come out and you go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to compete with that? What does this all mean? Oh my gosh, we're none of us. Why would anybody pay my fees as a full fee person that is providing all this service when they can get it for that cheap? And it's okay. That's 12% of the population. The way that we've taught it for years is 15% of the population is going to go choose that route. There's no way to compete with it. It's just what they're going to go do is they're going to go to the cheapest route they possibly can go. It's not your consumer.
Yeah.
When you understand your business model, you don't try to compete. If you're making high-end, awesome burgers, you don't try to go compete with McDonald's. It's a different market. It's a different consumer. It's a different person that's buying that product. It's okay. Let them make theirs, you make yours. And I think this is where we really need to own this going into this marketplace. The other thing I want to add real quick, Matt, is that the interesting thing that happened with this person who offered this, and they're studying this right now, and they're gathering more information. I really hope to have them on at some point to share how this all worked and what they did and what their experience was. But it was interesting is it got shared in a sales meeting. And all of a sudden, she had left, sales meetings started talking about all the stuff that was going on, and her phone started blowing up as she left, and she was called back in to give a presentation to the office. And the thing I want to bring to everybody's attention is collective knowledge. In all of your environments, where you work, where you hang out, the people that are you call your friends, you have a collective knowledge with all of them. And for some of you, your collective knowledge is doom and gloom. The sky is falling. We're never going to make any money. And we all go have coffee together and we all sit around and we talk about how real estate will never be the same again. And maybe we should just retire. And, you know, maybe we're done. This has been a good ride. That collective knowledge is happening out there right now. Out of that sales meeting is a whole bunch of people that through collective knowledge, all of a sudden are going, we can do what? Like, wait, how did that work? Wait, okay, okay. Oh, this changes the game. This changes everything. So how do we word that? What would we do? And even this agent, this is the reason I'm not bringing this up right now and putting it on the table, because she's like, I'm not comfortable teaching others how to do this. She goes, I'm just experimenting for myself, a comfortable thing I'm comfortable with.
Well, and it was a conversation with the client too, right? I mean, this wasn't like, here's my strategy, client. Yeah. Let's do this.
So out of this, there's some of you out there that are risk takers, and you're maybe not always the rule followers, that you're going to push the limits just a little bit with the help of your client, seeing what's value, what's where the value is. And some of you are going to learn some stuff. And some of you may get a slap on the hand going, don't ever do that again. And that happens as you take risks and you push things a little bit outside the box. I guarantee you there's people out there, Matt, trying things, and their brokers going, you did what?
I'm sure.
Don't ever do that again. Like, you don't understand how much risk you just put us in. And then there's the other side of it of, you did what? Like, let's talk about, like, so how did you approach that? And that, both sides are going to come out of this.
And on the other side, what we are seeing is some people saying, well, I just won't show any property unless they are offering a buyer broker commission. And some states even have that on their buyer agency agreement. The buyer can check that to say, hey, I don't want to be shown properties that don't have an offering. And well, one, that's going to get really hard to maintain once assuming the settlement is approved and buyer agency comp gets pulled off the MLS. Will there be workarounds? I'm sure they're going to come up with something, or maybe they won't, because maybe the DOJ really wants to crack down on not having that as public information. And so it's going to be a pain in the butt to go find out which ones are like that. And I just see a whole lot of other issues, fair housing things that can come up and all this stuff, if that's the way we're going to play it. And this gets into, don't avoid having the conversation with your buyers on how compensation works, because they are hiring you to do a job.
Yep.
They are hiring you to guide them through a process. And I've never hired somebody that I didn't have to pay for. Never.
See, that's the most interesting thing, Matt, that I keep coming back to about this. And I was having my wife and I have a hard time shutting work off sometimes. And so we'll be sitting around discussing these things and what this all means. And Sarah said to me, she goes, I'm confused. She goes, nobody is asking anybody to work for free.
No.
Like, that is the misunderstanding, that like this whole situation is about like getting people to do all this hard work for free. And this goes back to that 1585 rule, which is that if you can't show your value, if people can't perceive your value, they will always move to the cheapest route. So this group of 80% of the population, if for some reason they don't see what your worth is and what your value is, yes, they will go to the cheapest route every single time. It's the way it works. Most of you fall into the 80% category, and you all know, do it all the time. You stand there in a sporting goods store, maybe this is me, and you're looking at two different items. And I mean, I was looking at dog bowls the other day, automatic water, dog waters is what I was looking at for my dogs. And I stood there looking at three different ones, very different price points. I could not figure out what the difference was between all of these things. And I'm like, well, I'm going the cheapest route. They all look a little bit different. They all kind of act a little bit, but at the end of the day, they all pretty much get the job done that I need to get done and work for me. Cheapest route is how I'm going. And I think that, you know, with the right person there and the right marketing and the right pamphlet, I probably would have understood why the one with the handle that's made of this really heavy construction and has the right little, like, why is there this filler thing on the top rather than this, the bottle that you fill up and then you turn upside down on top of it and you got water? Like, does that make it easy to come by and pour the water in and fill it up and you put the little cap on and you walk away? Can you hook a hose to it? I have no idea. I can't perceive the value. So I go the cheapest route. And this is the option that's in front of everybody right now out here. Nobody is asking you to work for free. Nobody was asking me out of those three water options to be like, and this one we're just giving away. There's a business model here for everybody. But at the end of the day, people will pay for your services. They just got to understand what your services are.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes down to making sure that you're continually educating the people around you, right? Through all the things that you do with marketing. And not sure this is the best analogy, but Garrett, if you were to think about a smokeless fire pit, what's the first brand that comes to your mind?
Smokeless fire pit?
Yeah. Like it's a fire pit that like helps like it not be really smoky.
Yeah. Well, my first thing was, does it actually not produce smoke? Because the first thing that came to my mind, like, does it actually do what it says it's going to do? Because I've had a lot of campfires that have smoked me out.
Right. So when you think like companies that sell like built fire pits, not like a stone thing, but you may not have one of these.
California, we can't have any open flame anywhere.
Oh, that's true. I'm asking a Californian. Well, Solo Stove is the one that comes to mind, right?
Okay, keep going.
And many people are like, oh yeah, I got a Solo Stove. Well, when I bought my first Solo Stove, I have my second one right now. I didn't even know these things were a thing. I got hit with marketing that wasn't just like, check out our cool stove. It was, here's the benefits of this stove. And it was like the smokeless thing was, they were leaning so hard into that at the beginning. I was like, they're like, what do you, you know, when you're at the campfire, the worst thing is when you're sit there roasting marshmallows and then smoke's coming into your face. We've figured it out with this technology and all this stuff. And I was like, great, I'll buy it. I didn't even look for competitors. I didn't even know competitors existed until I went to look for my second one. I was like, whoa, there's a lot of companies out here.
Yeah.
Now, mass marketing is different than the marketing that we encourage people to do. But also, Solo Stove's market is different than what your market is as a realtor, because your market is your people that are right there.
Yeah.
And if you're the one educating them, they're going to come to you for advice. They're going to trust you. They're going to know that you have a good process. And so on the, even on the buyer side, when it's like, oh, this is how it works and this is how you're going to get compensated. And so I'm going to pay you, but I'm going to pay you through the contract. Or if I can't, then this, and you have that conversation, go back to our episodes where we went through the one of three things, right? Go back to that one on December. People are going to choose you.
Yep.
And they're going to value you. And I will say this too, on the people who go to the lowest price, the 15%, if you're one of the people that goes to the lowest price, you might have a hard time figuring out how to not be that in your own business.
Good point,
I was
Matt.
Talking to somebody, this was maybe a couple months ago, and I was asking them, and because we were talking about pricing of a product and everything, and I said, well, how do you go and buy? Like, how did you choose this or that? Like, I just went with whatever was the lowest price. And I said, okay. I was like, well, you are in that 15%. So for you to then run a business that is not based on that, it's going to be really hard. You're going to have to change the way you think and change the way you also perform your habits as a consumer. And if you don't, like, that's fine. There is a market for the race to the bottom. There is a market for the lowest priced option that's maybe lower service or whatnot. There are people who would love to have that service. And it's not going to take away from your service if you're someone who likes to provide very high quality, and maybe quality is not the right word, but I would say high quality and maybe a higher price, because not all high price things are high quality, and that gets into the value discussion. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that gets into you being a, you know, a consumer and looking at all your options and looking at all your, you know, your avenues you can go down before you actually make a purchase. And I do need to put an asterisk by it. We can have open fires in California. People are like, oh, Garrett's blowing out. I can totally have a fire pit in my backyard. It just makes you nervous.
Yeah. But so anyway, I mean, I love this story of offering out the 4%, because these incentives, there's a reason why these incentives exist when lenders use them, when builders use them, when you are guiding home sellers, like there's a reason why incentives sometimes work, but you also still have to match it with a great product, great conversation. And remember, at the end of the day, and this is the way it's always been, and this is what I love about the ninja selling process, is that you control the process. Your clients control the decisions. And as long as you're focusing on making sure that they are in full control of those decisions, you're going to win.
Oh, yeah. And again, I think, and as we started this episode, and what I want everybody to be thinking about here right now is that we will have more information on this, by the way. This is not this story that we started this off with.
And there will be more ideas that come about too that we'll probably talk about.
Yeah. And I think there'll be the right time to bring on, like, here's a whole bunch of cool ideas. Really, for the most part right now, is I want you to think about, who are you hurting with right now? Are you hurting with a group that's on a race to the bottom? Or are you hurting, when I say hurting, like a herd of buffaloes, are you hurting with a group of people that are looking outside the box, looking for opportunities and ways this thing's going to work out? Because back in the 80s, when interest rates were 18, 20%, there was a large group out there that said, how can we get creative? How can we make this work so buyers are still able to buy homes and they can afford to do this? And they got creative, where there was a lot of agents that stepped back and said, nobody can buy right now. It's impossible to buy. Nobody can afford these interest rates. And a lot of those realtors left the business. There's opportunity in every situation that comes into our world. And you need to take a step back, analyze the situation, and hopefully through our conversation today, you will look at everything coming at you right now going, okay, I hear that. Where's the opportunity around this? And maybe how can I approach this differently? And who's around me that I know that might approach this differently? And maybe we should go have coffee. Let's talk about it. Not the ones that want to have the doom and gloom conversation and go into like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. We want to have the people that are going, oh my gosh, okay, we get it. We see that. But what are other ways we could be? Let's step over here to this angle, Matt, and look at it from this way. How about we step over on this side and look at it from this way? Oh, it's not a cube. Like, it's actually a rectangle when you look at it from this way. Like, I thought it was a cube this whole time. We just need to look at these things from different angles. And all of a sudden, you have these pictures open up that you didn't see when you first were presented with it. And that's what I'm encouraging everybody to do.
I love it.
So, Matt, I appreciate you going down this path with me today.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Special thanks to the agent out there that experimented here this last week and gave us this kind of different way to look at this right now. There'll be more information on that. You heard all of our disclaimers. Just go back and listen to them if you need to hear all the disclaimers.
Yeah, we'll put the really fast talking guy at the end.
Yeah. In the meantime, I just want to tell you, Matt, how much I appreciate you. I want to tell everybody out there who's our listeners how much we appreciate all of you for tuning in regularly to this. If you want to go check out more about Ninja Selling, go to ninjaselling.com. If you want to check out our Facebook community with a whole bunch of like-minded listeners that like what we share all the time, please go check us out there at the Ninja Selling Podcast community. I'm coming close to 16,000 people in there, Matt. That group is pushing along strong right now. So
awesome.
Appreciate everybody. Thank you. Have an amazing day.
Thanks, everyone.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.